You're listening to Montreal Now with Aaron Rand and Natasha Hall on CJAD 800.
That would be James Mennie, who is under the weather today, but our alternate rapper for today is David Hertel, former cabinet minister, now a counsel at Fasken. David, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on today. We appreciate it.
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Let me start by my first problem. I'm sorry, did I say problem? My first rant today, which would have been about what's going on at the Hippodrome, the Blue Bonnet site. I know they had this big press conference yesterday, brought in the, you know, the big wheels. Pierre Fitzgibbon was there. The mayor was there. Pierre Boivin, who we're going to have on the air later this afternoon from Claridge, was there. I can't help but thinking, David, you've been around long enough. You were a minister when we were still talking about what's going to happen there. What's going to happen there? Because it seems to me it's just one plan after another plan. As grand as they may seem, nothing gets done.
Well, the problem, as it always is money. Because right now, there's simply no economic incentive for the private sector to go in and develop that huge parcel of land. I mean, with Projet Montréal's 2020 bylaw, you know this, when you build new housing, 20% of it has to be social housing, 20% has to be affordable, and 20% has to be family housing. And on top of that, you have the fact that the land isn't owned by any private company. It's owned originally by the Quebec government. Then that was transferred to the city. And the other piece, Aaron, is during the whole Royal Mount project development, there were so many problems having to do with people raising questions about the added traffic. And then Town of Mount Royal saying yes, and then saying maybe not. And so there are a lot of disincentives right now for the private sector to get involved. And remember, the city of Montreal had 10 years to do this, and the 10 years are up. Mm-hmm. And so now it's the only avenue that's left is trying to bring the private sector, the Quebec government, and the city around a table and try to find a way. Because the other piece that's going to be very big here is all the infrastructure. Because usually when you have a private development that requires new roads, aqueducts, sewer systems, et cetera, there's a compromise. There's cost sharing. Here again, what's the incentive for the private sector if the profit margins aren't there and high interest rates on top of that? So there's going to be a lot of bargaining needed to be done, and the Quebec government's going to have probably to put up some money too.
I mean, yeah,
okay, hold on. Here, to be fair,
sketchy.
Let's understand something here, because we both know this. We're talking about this now because of that press conference yesterday. This came up during Gérald Tremblay's administration.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Nothing got done. Denis Coderre's administration, nothing got done. Mm-hmm. Here we are now into the second part, or the second term for the Plante administration, and we have a press conference. And even if I heard Pierre Boivin right yesterday, even if this works out after they study this for the next 6 to 8 months, nothing, no shovels in the ground until at least 2025. That means this project is not going to get done for another 2 or 3 years after that. I don't understand this, David, and I don't understand why a private developer, and to your point, yes, there has to be money, and it's a giant space, but it's also a really, really good, valuable space in the middle of the city. I can't imagine that no developer anywhere wouldn't have thought, you know what, however much this is going to cost, we can make a profit here. How has that not happened up until now?
Well, I get your point, but look, just last year, the city of Montreal went out into the market and said, we want projects for a parcel of land at Blue Bonnet. You know how many projects they got?
None.
Zero.
Okay. Is it because of the affordable housing element? Because that always seems to be one of the catching points.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying. Why not offer incentive then, David, to a developer to say, look, okay, if none of you are interested or this doesn't excite you based on how, you know, what we're offering you now, let's try to work together. We'll make this profitable enough for you so you consider doing it.
And here's where the politics come in. Because if there was a deal to be made here, then that means Projet Montréal would be backing off their very rigid position. Remember, this regulation came into force almost 3 years ago. And even before that, that's where Projet Montréal said, okay, we're not going to be going forward with any types of projects. So That's a big piece here, because politically, Projet Montréal can't back down. I mean, they're kind of boxed in this position, this very rigid position. And the other piece is, for any private developer, there's still a lot of other projects to be done that are much more profitable closer to the downtown core. Because the other piece is, transportation is a mess. You know this. I mean, DeCary is already a mess around there. A lot of people are saying that with Royal Mount, it's going to get much more difficult to get around in that area. So there are a lot of issues. And the fact is, with high interest rates, it costs more to build. I mean, everything costs more because of inflation. And so the fact is, I mean, there are easier projects to be built closer to the downtown core right now.
By the way, I did not bring up the word Cavendish at all, and that would have to be part of this because it runs right through it.
We were literally all thinking it.
Okay.
Absolutely. But again, that is not a priority for the Legault government either.
None of this makes sense to me, and the fact that there's no sewer system or roads, but there was a sewer system. There were roads to Bluebonnet. So it just does not compute for me, and it sounds to me, honestly, David, like it's probably not going to happen.
I don't see it happening anytime soon unless there is a lot of public money coming from Quebec City, and I don't see that anytime soon. Again, Cavendish, I mean, I could say it's not a CAQ priority, but let's face it, it wasn't a Liberal priority either. And so the fact is, Cavendish is not even close to being done. It's not in the planning stages. And when you're talking about infrastructure, I get what you're saying. Yes, there were roads to Bluebonnet. But, I mean, it was just to the racetrack. I mean, when you're talking about sewage for, like, 6,000 residences, I mean, you're talking about roads, sewage, aqueduct, fire hydrants. I mean, that's a lot of infrastructure. It's a lot of money.
By the way, I don't want to be cynical. This would have nothing to do with the fact that it's in the west end of the city, David, would it?
Would it?
No. Okay.
All I know
really?
I'm
shocked, Aaron, that you would think something like that.
Wanted to get that out of the way.
Meanwhile,
politics involved Montreal not being important at all for this government?
You're not allowed to say that out loud. Meanwhile, I'm having flashbacks of the porta potty situation during the U2 concert at the Patron
site. Yeah, I was there. I remember.
Oh, God. Anyway, moving on from one potty to another, what happened in Alberta last night? I don't know why I had that feeling that Rachel Notley was going to pull this off.
We both called it wrong.
Yeah, but they went for Danielle Smith. So what do you make of this?
Well, in the last 2 weeks, of the election, there was a shift. And it's interesting. This is the problem with all left-wing parties in Canada. I mean, Quebec Solidaire went through the same thing during the last provincial campaign here in Quebec. The NDP federally, that's what's keeping it from getting off the ground and being considered seriously as an alternative to form government nationally. What happened in Alberta was about taxes. Towards the last few weeks of that provincial campaign, the NDP came out with, and credit on Rachel Notley for actually coming out and saying, okay, this would be an NDP budget. But what happened is that budget had a corporate tax hike. And Danielle Smith's team was very shrewd in jumping on that and saying, an NDP government will raise your taxes. So at the end of the day, even though Danielle Smith is, let's face it, an extreme candidate who said a lot of things, and we don't have time to go through everything, but it's a bit of a lesson for the next federal campaign, actually, because while Justin Trudeau is going to be looking to paint Pierre Poilievre as an extremist right-wing politician, the fact is that at the end of the day, people will look at their pocketbook right now and for the next year and a half. Remember, all these interest rate hikes, the impact will be felt for the next 12 to 18 months because a lot of people will be renewing their mortgages in the next 12 to 18 months. I'm one of them, for example. And so what I signed for a mortgage in 2019 is going to come up in 2024, and it's not even going to be close, even though if rates come down a bit. it's not going to be even close to what I was paying and what I signed for in 2019. A lot of people, I'm with you. Yeah. So a lot of people are going to be feeling that.
Oh God, yeah.
Come federal election time.
Right.
So it's going to be very interesting. We saw it. Remember, François Legault was very effective in killing off Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois with the orange tax label.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the same thing if the Liberals federally aren't careful of being too closely linked to the NDP, because that's the Liberal ploy here, right? As it is always. They're going to scare center voters into voting Liberal and scare NDP voters into voting Liberal to prevent a Poilievre government. But that's what was very interesting here in Alberta. While the NDP made some really great gains in Calgary, which shows the changing makeup of Alberta, especially in Calgary, the fact is that it just wasn't enough to convince most Albertans of going and taking what was perceived as a risk to their pocketbook by voting NDP.
So basically all the federal parties will simply say, we're not going to raise your taxes, and then it'll be a fair fight. Okay. David, thank you so much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It today. Thanks.
Always a pleasure, Natasha.
Take care.